Good morning. Happy Easter to you all and to you on Zoom. If you are here for the first time, whether it's on Zoom or in person, welcome. If you have been coming for years, welcome to you too. If you are a first-time believer, if you are still wondering about God, if you have had faith for years, you are all welcome and you are all accepted here today and always. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Maybe today we can take a moment. Maybe today we can silence the inner critic. Maybe today we can leave perfection at the door. Maybe today we can allow our true selves to be here. And maybe that's all that matters. Maybe this Easter morning is for us. Maybe these hallelujahs are for us. Maybe the hope blooming is in for us. Maybe the resurrection wasn't just about God's body, but it's about your body too. Maybe this new life reaches all. Maybe we are free to live in a world where love is currency. And maybe that's what it's all about. Not a relentless pursuit of more, but God's relentless pursuit of me and you. New life is right here. Like the women, say it out loud. Like Peter, run towards it.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from Luke 23, verses 55 to 24:3. Easter returns. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body.
Eyewitness. It's funny looking back. We were so worried about that stone. Who would move it for us so we could get into the tomb? There were only a few of us that morning. I just forget who was there besides Mary and Joanna and me. But we didn't think a few women could move the boulder on our own. Isn't that the way, though? You get so focused on the problem you expect. Spend all your worry on that one thing. And then it's something completely different which changes your day, changes your life. The tomb was already open when we got there, like a mouth in the rock shouting at us, but we couldn't hear its joy. We were so fixed on what we expected to do. We wanted to honor Jesus, honor his body after all he'd been through. But isn't that the way, though? You have a plan, you know how things ought to happen, and then God turns your world upside down. At that moment, when we couldn't find the body, we didn't know what was going on, didn't have a clue. I was a witness. I was there. We looked and looked, and all we could see was an empty stone ledge. Let's pray. God of mystery, we have made it here on Easter morning, seeking to find you. We know the Easter story, yet we do not always understand what is happening. Open our hearts to be surprised, just as the women were when they found the tomb empty. Amen.
The second reading is taken from Luke 24:3-5. Perplexed and dazzled. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly, two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen." This is the word of the Lord.
We were perplexed, all right. We'd been there when they handed Jesus over to the soldiers. He could barely walk by his own strength. and we were there while he was hanging on that cross. We saw him die. We heard him die. We watched as they took his body down. We followed Joseph to the tomb. We were there, all of us women. I was a witness. We were there. After the Sabbath, we were ready. We had the spices. We had it all worked out. But we weren't counting on angels. I ask you, do you expect an angel dazzling in your eyes on the saddest day of your life? They were so bright, we threw ourselves on the ground in front of them. But those angels, they sounded as if we should have known better. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Well, angel, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Did you see him suffer? Did you hear him breathe his last desperate breath? I was a witness. I was there. My heart was broken on Friday. And you don't get over a broken heart in a couple of days. But then hindsight is so much clearer, isn't it? When I look back now, after all these years, I can see how God was at work in Jesus. In our very midst, all those years. But face to face with that angel, I didn't know what to say. Still, my heart started to beat a little faster. Jesus definitely was not there, but I was. I was a witness, and he was not there. Let's pray. God of mystery, we can understand why those women were perplexed. We know the Easter story, but we do not understand how things happened that day. Gifts of hope is dazzling to us too. We would like to believe that death is not the end, and so sing our song in hope.
Our third reading is taken from Luke 24, verses 5b to 11. Remember, the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to the sinners to be crucified. And on the third day, he would rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them.
Remember how he told you. Remember, of course we remembered being in Jesus with Galilee. We women were always there, watching, listening, herding the children, organizing lunch. Of course we remembered Jesus in Galilee, how he spoke, how he taught us that God's kingdom was like a woman baking, flour up to our elbows, waiting for the yeast to rise. Jesus had been watching us, listening to us too. I remember how he loved the children nearby, under his feet. I remember how he loved a good meal, a good laugh. I remember how he loved to tell a good story, how he made me think. I was there in Galilee. I was a witness. I remember when he told us that the Son of Man would be rejected and killed. But I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to believe Jesus would die. Not so soon, not in so much pain. I remember, but I didn't want to. Not then. Then again, hindsight is so much clearer, isn't it? When I look back now, after all these years, I can see how God was at work in Jesus, in our very midst, right beside us all those years. I remember his clear hope that all God's people would come from east and west, from north and south, to eat together in God's kingdom. I just didn't understand Jesus would have to die to bring people to the table together, to make peace between us. Still, I remember when he was dying, with his last breath, he said to God, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." I was a witness. I was there. And now I see he was giving his spirit to us, putting his spirit into our hands so that we can take his peace with us wherever we go. to bring all God's people to the table together. Jesus rises in us, in his friends, in our broken hearts. He rises to put us back together again so we can befriend the world, make peace for all God's people in his name. Hindsight is so much clearer, isn't it? Hindsight is so much clearer, isn't it? When I look back now, I can see how God was at work in Jesus in our very midst, and still is. That morning, when we remembered what we'd known all along, we ran back to tell the others, Jesus is risen, and we've got work to do in his name. You know what those disciples said? It's all idle chatter, an old wives' tale. But I know, I was there, I was a witness. And as Peter found out, hindsight is always so much clearer.
Luke 24, verse 12, amazed by grace. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. And then he went home, amazed at what had happened.
At first, Peter didn't believe the women that day. He had to see for himself. I don't blame him. Do you think you would have believed them that first resurrection day? A person so tortured and crucified, brought back to life? What do you think Peter would have to say to you to make you believe? I think he would have been so excited to tell you about how it's all true. By now, he would have connected the dots. Everything he saw Jesus do and say, the way Jesus spoke about God, the way Jesus showed what God is like by caring for others, speaking about what God wants us to be like to each other. The resurrection is what made so many people who actually witnessed it to believe in Jesus Christ, to become followers of him. And then they told their story, what they witnessed, how they felt perplexed, what they remembered. And since then, that story has been repeated unceasingly. You've probably lost count of how many times you have heard this story. But that is why we believe. We don't believe because the Bible says so. We believe because the women witnessed it, told Peter, and then Peter told others, and then others told others, and then it was recorded, and then it was put together with other books that we now know as the Bible. But don't let that stop the amazingness of this story. This is a God who works in unexpected ways, a God who loves limitlessly, such that even though that he would be scorned and rejected, he came to me and to you to show us what love looks like. And he calls us to love others. Jesus said he came to give abundant life. Not abundant in terms of material things, not abundant in terms of just forced positive thinking, or never having a troubled life again. I keep thinking about how disappointed everyone must have been to bury Jesus, how they could even think about going on in a place where they were still not being treated with dignity when this person was supposed to come and help them be free from oppression. Go on when he was supposed to come and defeat the oppressors, and now he seemingly was defeated by them. And the truth is, even after the resurrection, the situation did not change. But he did help them change how they saw God. What changed is that they knew God intimately. They knew that God cared for them and that they didn't have to tick boxes of rules and regulations or fit into what society deemed worthy for them to be accepted by God. They had abundance in recognizing the dignity and holiness of every human body. You have this too through Jesus. In conquering death, what came after extreme torture, Jesus proved that he was who he said he was. Jesus confirmed that he was the Son of God and that God wanted to be with every humanity, each person in humanity. God is one who meets us where we are, even when we feel as empty as a tomb. I think that's what sank in for Peter that day. The empty tomb enabled him to have a full life, an abundant life, a one where God, he knew that God cared for him. And it's true for you too. It's true that your situations may not change just because it's Easter Sunday, but it's true that your compassion, your generosity, your loyalty, your love, your hurt, everything that you bring to God, and most importantly, your hope, none of that is in vain. So run towards it the way that Peter did. And if you still don't believe, imagine what Peter might be saying to you. He might be saying, yeah, I get it. I didn't understand. I didn't fully believe either. I couldn't believe those women. But I saw the tomb. I saw him. The women saw him. So please know, God definitely has done something for the world, in the world, for me and for you. The kingdom of God has come near, which means that you are never far from God. All you have to do is turn in his direction and embrace this kingdom value system. Embrace this person. So this Easter morning, you are invited not to expect your circumstance to suddenly change, but to lay down or let go of whatever you need to step into this expansive life that God has for you, knowing that God walks with you. Let's pray. Loving God, we come before you today, this Easter morning, a morning so filled with hope, a morning where we can only imagine what those women, those people who were in such despair on Friday and Saturday must have felt, and the joy they felt after. We come to you with our own anguishes, our own fears, our own feelings of despair. We look upon the world, Lord, and we see Ukraine, and we still lift those people up in your in prayer to you. We think about the people who are not here today, who are home because of illnesses, sicknesses that they can't come over, Lord, and we lift those people up to you as well. We think about parents who have concern for their children in raising them in this world, which sometimes feels only full of despair. We think about our students who are here today and at home studying and full of stress and wondering how they can get through these next few days. But Lord, we think about that empty tomb as well, and the hope that you have given to us, the knowledge that you are always with us. And so for all these things, we thank you. Amen. This world, may you laugh and may it be contagious. May you overflow with love for those around you. May you be effusive with hope and quick to point out joy. And in all your living and breathing and being, may you find yourselves full to the brim with God's Holy Spirit. And may it change your life in the name of the resurrected one, the one who is love itself. Go in peace and peace full to the brim. Amen. Happy Easter, everyone. Have a good rest of the day. Bye.